Welcome to Limitless Broadcasting Network. Limitless Broadcasting Network is a family-owned podcast and streaming platform dedicated to creating engaging programming for our audience. We produce a variety of shows, including podcasts, television series, movies, and documentaries. Here are some of the exciting podcasts we produce. The Pixie Dust Twins Podcast. You Can't Kill the Boogeyman Podcast. The Painful Truth of Living with Chronic Pain Podcast. Robbie Reviews Podcast. The Partner Complex Podcast. We also offer subscription podcasts such as The Secrets Uncovered, The Truth Behind the Lies Podcast, Bump in the Night Chronicles Podcast, Rant Radio Podcast, Hollywood Hustle Podcast, The Shows That Shaped Us Podcast, Limitless News Coverage Podcast, Strange World with Robert Podcast. You can find all podcast shows from the Limitless Broadcasting Network anywhere you get your podcasts. For ad-free episodes, subscribe now.
You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Hey, this is Andre Gower from the Monster Squad, and you are listening to You Can't Kill the Boogeyman Podcast.
Door creaks open, static on the screen. Pop that corn, cue the screen.
Guys, and welcome back to You Can't Kill the Boogeyman Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Sammy.
And welcome back to the show.
Yes.
I'd have to say sorry for that long break.
Unplanned break.
Yeah,
to be clear.
We both were very sick. We had I had a bad cough.
Mm-hmm.
And
for weeks and weeks.
Couldn't get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's why we had to break.
Yeah, if you recently saw us at Scared Ice, you saw us masking up because
not
trying to do that again.
Yeah. So, we love going to horror cons, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much germs around.
Yeah.
And I have a very bad immune system, mm-hmm. as it is, because of all my chronic pain issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't want to get sick.
Right.
So, was it? What kind of cough was it? It was,
What do you mean?
What was it called?
Like a productive cough?
No, like a cough. What was it called?
I just gave you two different terms for it. I don't know what you're looking for.
I can't remember what it's called. Bronchitis. That's what I was looking for. Couldn't remember the name. I'm sorry.
That's not a cough. That's like a diagnosis.
A diagnosis.
Yeah.
So I had bronchitis for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you saw us masked up and scared ice.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Probably going to keep doing that for a while.
Yeah.
Don't want to get that con crud.
Yeah, no, we love being at these conventions.
Yep.
It's just a lot of diseases going around. So
trying to prevent catching any more.
So our next convention is actually Spooky Empire. And that's the 29th through the 30th of May.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, assuming, well, there's one you could be going to.
Tampa Bay Screams?
No. The Louisville.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm...
And then there was also the tattoo one, yes. In Tampa.
Yeah, okay.
Inkfest or something.
So we are going to go to Inkfest.
Okay, that's at the end of April.
So that is our first tattoo convention. Mm-hmm. It's at Tampa Bay Fairgrounds.
Same place as Scaredice.
Same place as Scaredice. I'm actually really excited about this one. I've never done a tattoo con before.
Right.
But this has MMA fighting. It has car shows. Oh. Tattoo, booths. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get a corner booth there. So if you're into tattoos and horror, definitely come see us.
Yeah, and if you're in Florida.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good time.
I'm actually really excited about this.
Mm-hmm. I can see why.
I don't know if a lot of our listeners know this, but I actually am a black belt. I don't know if I can do that stuff now because of all my ailments and everything like that. But mm-hmm. At one time, I could do a lot of stuff. So,
okay. Yeah.
I do like to watch MMA fighting.
That's true.
I think it's a lot of fun. Like, every time... the last time the UFC... Like, UFC, like, 23 or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, the latest fight, I was in Vegas selling a movie or a TV show.
In January.
In January. Mm-hmm. And the whole town was bumbling about it, like bursting at the seams, like, oh, the MMA is here. That's when I met the guy from Power.
That's right.
Because he was in town for the MMA fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And when I thought he said UFC, like the college.
Mm-hmm. UCF.
UCF, sorry. UCF, and I was like, aren't you a bit far? And he was like, no, MMA.
Mm-hmm.
UFC. And I was like, oh. But it was loud where we were at.
Right.
And I was like, oh, okay. That makes more sense.
I gotcha.
But he was, Braden, that's his name on Power.
Mm-hmm.
He's a white kid.
Okay.
Not Ghost and Tommy. Braden, that's Tariq's friend.
Okay.
So those of you who...
Watch Power
in the Power Universe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
So, we are back.
Mm-hmm. Finally.
I mean, we're still... still have a little bit of a cough, but...
Yeah, a lot better than it was. A lot better
now that I can actually record. The way it was, as I couldn't even record.
No, he couldn't talk too much because it would just...
Act up.
It was terrible.
So, we're back. In this episode, we are talking about Scream 7.
Yes.
This is going to be part one of Scream 7.
We'll have another episode about it soon.
Yes, we're very excited about part two.
Mm-hmm. With some special guests. That's the plan.
That is our plan.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes. So, for Scream 7, we did something that is rare for us, and we saw it opening night on Thursday. Partially because Scaredice was that weekend.
And everybody was going to be talking about Scream 7.
Yeah, that was going to be a real big thing all weekend, was talking about the movie. And also, we would have not really had time.
Right.
To go otherwise.
Right, right.
So, it just made sense to just go Thursday night. And there's a reason we just...
Don't
do opening nights for movies.
Do you want to get into it, and then I'll go on my spiel about all that, or do you want to do that now?
What, the complaints?
Yes.
No, we should just complain now, because I got the day that the Scream tickets became available on AMC, I got us seats.
Yeah.
So, you're in the back, our usual preferred area, in a movie theater we had not been to, because it was in Tampa.
Yeah.
But... I got it. It's a 9:30 showing.
The last showing.
Yeah. I was like, we're going to go and be there. And there was like really not many people had gotten tickets at that point. We were ahead of the game.
Yes, we were.
it was a full theater.
Yeah,
by the time the date came around.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So we're in the back row, and we get there early with our popcorn and everything. We're ready to move, ready to for the movie to start. Mm-hmm. Movie starts, and then our row fills in during the, like, opening credits. Like, not even, like, the opening sequence.
Yeah.
And they're like, I'm so sorry, we're coming in, so sorry to bother you. The lights are down. Mm-hmm. The movie is beginning. Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay, what the fuck?
Right.
Right. So they get fill in their seats, and then they just kept standing up and down, going back and forth. One girl went past us like four or five times.
Throughout the movie. Yeah.
And every time she would say, oh, I'm sorry, sorry to bother you, sorry to bother you.
I'm like, the movie's like 2 hours, just sit down.
And then she, all of them were using their phones during the movie, like texting. And then one person actually answered a call during the movie.
Why do you do that?
Now, here's my thing. We love going to see the movies.
Mm-hmm.
We love going to the movie and actually participating in the movie. Mm-hmm. But my question to everybody out there, this is not we have this problem at this movie, and we had this problem actually seeing this movie again. Because we saw this twice, because I didn't get to really... Yeah.
We just went back and saw it again on, like, a Sunday night.
Yes.
And
then this girl...
Still fucking around in the theater.
In the back seats, like we usually do.
In the back. This was
our home.
Not a full theater when we got
our
reservation. And then a lot of people showed up.
I don't think it was a full theater, but there was like good 20 people in there.
But there was a lot more in there when we originally... Because when you first did it, you were like, oh, there's like no one but us.
Yeah, there was like 6 people in there when we got this.
Yeah, and then it slowly started to build up.
So when everybody came in, I was like, wow, where did all these people come from?
Agreed.
So, again, same problem. These people are having their phones, texting them. You know, I'm just like, oh my God. And then this girl drops her phone behind
like it was
the
loud.
Seat.
You could hear it hit
you
the
could
floor.
Hear it. And then her boyfriend gives her his phone, to find it. And she turns on the flashlight.
And she's like crawling around on the floor with her light full on.
And I'm like, are you guys kidding me?
Yeah.
In the middle of the movie, you guys are going to do this. I'm literally almost yelling at them at this point. I'm just like, why don't you turn off your phone and get it when you the movie ends?
Exactly.
And they're looking at me, and I'm like, no, you're going to turn the light off.
And these are like...
They're like...
Kids. I mean,
like
teens.
Teenagers.
Yeah, teens. And like to add to that, they had another friend who was in her row and then not in her row. Then she went up in front of us. And then there was an adult with them who, when the movie started, came up and was like, you guys want any popcorn or anything? Are you fucking kidding me? You had the whole damn previews to do this shit. And then she's like, just text me. And I'm thinking, the fuck no. This is a movie theater. Where's the etiquette?
Right. And I even told the person with the light, I was like, this is so super rude.
Right.
I didn't pay to have you talk on your phone.
Right.
I came to see the movie.
Right.
So...
And it was teens the first time, too.
It was teens the first time, teens the second time.
It's like the same demographic.
And I just don't get it. So maybe somebody can explain it to us. Why would you pay for a movie? And these are like $20 at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you pay for a movie and not watch the movie and want to be on your phone the whole time?
Yeah. What is the point?
What is the point in going?
No.
I mean...
And like, to be fair, too, also when the theater was filling up during previews... Everybody's being so loud.
Yeah.
We won't say anything during previews, even though we kind of like watching.
I like watching
previews.
The previews.
But we're not going to be like, shut the fuck up, even though I think you probably should be a little quieter when previews start, just as, you know,
because
be nice, because some people do want to watch the previews.
It's
about
rude.
Movies. But we didn't say anything. But I told Robbie, because they were being so incredibly loud, I was just like, if they continued when the movie started, I was going to stand up and tell them all who the killer was and be like, I hope you enjoy the film. And then just sit back down. Because, seriously.
That would have started a riot.
I don't even care.
I think we would have had to go by then.
Well, we could have went back a different night.
I would have been like, well...
This week, we have all week to go back to see
it. Let's get out of here.
It just
that would have been funny to me, though.
But it just pisses me off.
I'm just saying. Know,
the lack of respect for people around you.
Proper movie etiquette is important because you have some people like us who really enjoyed going to the movie theaters.
Right. Well, everybody there chose to go. Like, yes. No one forced you to go see Scream.
Right.
So, what are you doing?
So, they even say, put away your phones, don't post, don't text, don't talk.
Don't ruin the movie.
Don't ruin the movie. Mm-hmm. And still, people ignore this.
And they ruin the movie.
And we saw Send Help as well. We will be talking about Send Help as well.
I'll be hearing
the
next one.
I had the same trouble.
But yeah, I was going to say, all three times we went to the movies,
these were adults. Straight up adults.
And keep in mind, Send Help, there was six of us
in the theater.
It was a small theater because it's almost out of theaters at this point.
Right.
Small theater, six of us, and these two people were having a full-blown conversation when the movie started.
During the movie, and I was like, bro, can you guys stop talking?
Right. I guess you didn't even say anything like it right away.
You're a little loud, and I didn't pay to hear you talk. I came to see the movie.
I wanted to see what's on the screen. Yeah.
So I'm just saying to you, it is a problem to go to the movie theater.
Yeah, and it's other people ruining it. Honestly.
There's a thing called movie etiquette, and everybody should abide by that.
Yes, and if you're going to bring your teens and allow them to clearly go sit elsewhere than where your selected seats are, then it should be made clear that you need to have some respect for people around you.
Absolutely, or you shouldn't go.
Yeah, and frankly, I don't think I'd let teens sit behind me. I would be like, no, I'm going to sit up here and you can go sit down there where I can see you.
Yeah.
And keep an eye on you.
Yeah.
Because, and make sure you're not fucking around on your phones doing other stuff.
Those kids weren't even supposed to sit there. Their seats weren't working, and
they
moved.
Which I understand why they moved.
And I understand that.
Because we had to do that at Send Help. Like, the seat wasn't working.
So.
But
if they wouldn't,
no reason for it.
If they wouldn't have turned off their phone, I would have left and got somebody.
No,
and,
for real.
And been like, and I'm that kind of person, and I don't even care.
No.
Because it's very rude.
Well, it was whatever movie we saw where we actually got some of those kids kicked out because they were being so obnoxious. The ones that were constantly moving seats and everything. I don't even remember what movie it was.
I don't even remember.
I know we talked about it on the show, but yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you hear it, let us know.
Yeah.
We see so many movies.
Yeah, it's hard to remember.
It may have been like In the Strangers or something like that. Maybe.
No. I don't think it was one of the Strangers films, because if it was, I really wouldn't have cared, because I didn't want to see that movie anyway.
Well, we will definitely be reviewing The Last Strangers on here.
Thank God we didn't have to go to theaters to see it. So, you know what I can do is be on my phone when we watch the third one, because we'll do it.
No, I'm going to make sure she doesn't.
Can't do that. We're in my own house.
Because of Scared Ice and everything like that, we didn't get to see.
We were sick.
Yeah, we were sick.
And then, Scared Ice was coming up. So, to be fair, I mean, we were sick, and I called off work. I don't ever call out of work or anything. I, basically lost 2 weeks of time to work on merchandise, you know, because everything I do is, hand-painted and all that.
Right.
And it was just a shit show. And then Robbie's trying to, get all of his shirts ordered at kind of the last minute, trying to figure everything out because, of being sick and wanting to make sure we had everything ready to go, and it just was a bit hectic leading up to the show. So we kept saying, oh, we should record on such and such day and whatever. And it just...
It was a lot.
We want to actually, be able to sit down and talk about it and not rush
through
it or be distracted. So it just was like, you know what? We'll just wait. And when we can record, we can record.
Right.
And that is now.
So that's why there's been a break in this.
Yeah, exactly.
And the reason why you guys should go shop at limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com is because everything is custom done.
Mm-hmm.
Custom painted, custom printed.
Yeah.
If you like horror, Jason, Michael, Freddy, Buffy, Lost Boys, we have it all. Monster Squad.
Yeah.
We have it all. And by shopping on our store, you are supporting our platform.
Yes.
So please go buy tumblers, bags, shirts. They make great gifts for that Halloween lover or your scary movie friend. Go check it out.
Yep, we're open all year with the spooky.
So now we're done with our ranting.
Yes,
be polite in the movie theater.
Don't be
kind
of those assholes, please. And right. Teach your kids to not be assholes.
All right.
Thank you. That's our TED Talk.
Yes. Today. And now we're going to jump into the movie.
We're going to talk about Scream 7. Yes. So, as we're talking about, this movie came out on February 27th. So, somewhat recently. So, hopefully you've seen it by now.
There will be spoilers in this.
Yeah. Spoiler. We're going to talk about everything. So, they consider this film to be another reset for the franchise. So we had a reset going into Scream 5, which you remember, they originally were just calling it Scream as like a reboot, but that didn't really stick. So we all call it Scream 5, and now we've had Scream 6. Yeah, or the requel. And now we're resetting everything again with Scream 7. So we have the return of Sydney Prescott. So Nev was back after missing out on the last film.
So let me say something about Nev.
Mm-hmm.
In this film, she got paid that fuck you money for missing 6. Mm-hmm. I know there's some controversy with, we're not going to go see it because of the Spyglass and Melissa Barrera.
And things like that. Yeah, I have a little bit about that. Mm-hmm.
But don't worry about Nev Campbell. Yeah. She got that fuck you money.
Yeah, she got like $7 million to do this one.
So she, and plus, she got part of the back end.
Yeah, she's a producer. Right?
She's a producer of it, and she's getting part of the back end. So yeah. Nev Campbell.
Nev did not come back without that a lot fuck you from money. The studio. Yes. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Williamson returned on this one as well. He's the director, and he worked on the script. So in our new location for this movie, we're not in Woodsboro or New York. We're now in Pine Grove, Indiana, of all places. Sydney has left it all behind and moved to the Midwest, where she thought she could escape it, but she can never escape Ghostface.
And it's
That's not,
not
how that
way.
Works, Sydney. We get to meet her family, well, part of her family. We see her two youngest kids just via, like, a video chat. We meet her husband and her oldest daughter.
It would have been better if Patrick Dempsey would have been Nev Campbell's husband.
So I did read.
I was kind of let down like, about that.
Like
I don't
Kevin Williamson and like, you know, some of the people involved, maybe even Nev herself, had said Mark was that Mark. But from what I understand, he was not available for the movies. So they kind of had to retcon that a little bit and give her a new Mark.
Right.
Husband. So that's what happened there. And you can't always get what you want.
That was a bit of a disappointment, but, you know, if people are not available, they're not available.
They're not available, exactly. But we did have Courtney Cox back as Gail. She's returned. Isabel May plays Tatum, and that's her oldest daughter, who's named after the Tatum.
So in this one, Nev Campbell has 3 kids.
Yes.
Tatum's the oldest one.
Mm-hmm. And the 2 youngest daughters, like I said, they were via video chat right at the beginning of the movie, and that's it. We don't see them again. Which was smart. It's a good way to say, yes, she has multiple kids. We've already acknowledged this. And we didn't want, like, small children in this film. So we took them out. We sent them away on vacation because they're remodeling their house. So
Mark actually commented on it that we have officers there protecting them.
Right. Yeah. So. At one point during the film, they sent out to Colorado. That's where they were.
Right.
In Colorado. Jasmine Savoy Brown returns as Mindy, and Mason Gooding is back as Chad. So we have them with Gail. Yeah,
they were actually a good addition to this film.
I didn't always care for the way they handled their characters
in Scream
previously.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did like the tie-in because I was like, how are they going to bring them back but not anybody else
right.
in the last two? And I liked the way they did it. Is because, yeah, they have a connection now with Gail Weathers, and they're using that connection to become part of the news world.
They're part of Randy's family, too.
And Randy was always, yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
So they're always going to be, I think they're always going to be
film
tied
in
or something like
that.
But yeah. I like how their characters were in this movie in particularly.
Yeah.
Out of all the Scream movies they were mm-hmm. in, this one was the best.
Yeah. Joe McHale is Sydney's husband, Mark. So he is the Mark that we see. And we'll get into some of the other people here in a little bit, I think. So this movie has definitely gotten some mixed reviews. Some critics have called it a bit high on its own supply, aka it's like just too meta, it's too maybe fan service-y, sort of, but it has been a massive hit as far as if you're looking at the numbers. It set the franchise record for the highest opening weekend, raking in over $60 million in its first 3 days. And now the franchise is a $1 billion franchise.
Yeah, it hit $1 billion.
As of this movie, yes. So we talked just a minute ago about Tatum. So there's a lot of talk about Sydney's daughter being named Tatum.
96 Tatum.
Yeah, so, but it's interesting because Tatum, the daughter, doesn't know a lot about Sydney's past other than what's in the movies and the books and what's in the media.
Right.
Essentially.
She doesn't talk about it.
Right. And Tatum is dying to know more about her mother and what she went through. And she gets firsthand experience in this film.
Oh, for
obviously.
Sure.
But I do like that Sydney spends a lot of the movie telling Tatum, I named you after my friend. I cared about her. And then at the end, she explains all of the qualities that she admired in her high school friend Tatum. And that's why she named her daughter after
right.
her.
I thought that was a good tie-in.
Yeah, I thought that was nice. And Kevin wanted to tie back in the original Tatum because, you know, obviously her kill was, like, a big deal, right?
You think she should have died?
She was a good best friend to Sydney.
You think she should have died in 96?
I mean, we didn't know what we were going to get, right? If they had maybe known, maybe Tatum would have survived with Dewey.
Probably.
But they couldn't have known that this necessarily was going to go on.
The thing about it is this, do you know how many horror movies are actually shot in a year?
Yeah.
Just like, Art the Clown, just like the Terrifier.
And now they're going on four.
It just hit at the right time.
Yeah, it just
it was
depends.
Just, mm-hmm. It was just an independent movie. They shot it.
Mm-hmm.
They put it out, and it hit at the same time, right time.
And it found its audience. So.
And that's the same thing with Scream.
Mm-hmm.
I like Scream better.
Mm-hmm.
Than the Terrifier.
Yeah, Terrifier is definitely for a certain audience.
I definitely think this Scream was a lot gorier than
yeah.
the other ones.
It has some good kills in it.
Because they are trying to compete with that Terrifier
mm-hmm.
audience.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The movie has crossed also just... I don't know why I had this separate, but $149 million globally in the first 2 weeks. So that's why we're going to get a Scream 8.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, for sure. So, do we want to do... Let me pull up the kill list. Here we go. That's what I'm looking for. Okay, so let's just talk about the movie itself.
Okay.
So... Sydney, like Sydney does, gets a mysterious phone call.
The movie basically starts.
Well, yeah,
they're at
Stu Mocker's house.
Stu Mocker's old house,
which is true in real life, is a like
a tour house.
They make it like an Airbnb in this movie. You can really rent it.
Yeah.
To stay there. That is a thing.
And this couple does that.
Yes.
And the
mm-hmm.
boyfriend is
Scott and Madison. That's who stays there.
Right. The boyfriend Scott is obsessed with like Scream and.
He
stab
loves
movies
the stab
and horror
movies.
And everything like that.
He loves the real life story, but yeah, he's a big fan of the stab movies and horror in general.
So they stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Make a long story short, they both end up getting killed.
Yeah, they are the opening kills. And
because Scream always has an opening kill.
I liked this opening kill. What did you think? Our opening kills, I should say. I liked them. His is gross. Like, super
yeah.
gross.
They stabbed him in the head, and it, like
and his eyeball like,
popped
went sideways.
Out.
It was so. Gross.
I was like, "Wow,
yeah,
they really did a nice job
but
with that."
I like what they did because you know they walk in and they've got like it's cheesy, right? The way it's set up. There's all these like signs and posters talking about what happened in the house, and then there's
body outlines
and fake blood on the ground, and they get a phone call from the person running it, and they do a quiz.
You're right.
You know, about horror movies, and they're like, oh, you passed. I guess I'm not going to come stab you tonight. Don't forget to rate us 5 stars. Ha, ha, ha. You know, it's real cheesy, and it's, like, in the Ghostface voice, but it was slightly off. So,
yeah.
You know, they did a good job with
yeah.
that, like, how it would be in real life. And then there's this, like, creepy animatronic Ghostface.
So, here's my thing about that.
Mm-hmm.
There's an animatronic that it's motion-activated and does mm-hmm. What's Your Favorite Scary Movie, or they'll mm-hmm. never make it on time. But... when Madison is walking up there and she's like, well, they're both up there because he hits her. Madison hits Scott and he's like, oh, it was dumb. And he's like, it just moved, the animatronic. Well, on the floor, you could see the animatronic's head and legs and everything. And I'm just like, you wouldn't have noticed that walking into the room? Like, it was clear as day when...
I missed that. Where was it?
It was on the floor, right in front of the animatronic.
Oh, was, like, the animatronic was sitting in front of the old one?
Yeah.
Or the person?
The person, and I was like...
Oh, and I was even trying to look at it the second time, and I did a terrible
job. And I was like, wouldn't you notice that, that the animatronic is literally laying on the floor?
Obviously not, because I'm stupid, too. I would have gotten killed.
But yeah, it was like...
You know what, they got me, because I got distracted looking for where the boyfriend went when he came back in dressed as Ghostface. So
yeah, I was looking at that like, how are you gonna magically replace this, but was on the floor, and I was just like, well, this clearly something's not, these people are not smart.
Well, I knew that they were gonna replace that animatronic with a person.
Yeah, they set that up.
Yeah. And, yeah, but it was well done the way, like, you know, it pretended to still be the animatronic and then all of a sudden got him.
Yeah.
I thought that was well done.
Scott was cooked.
Yeah.
And Madison is the actress from Landman.
Yeah, the daughter.
The daughter. I actually really enjoy her in that. And now she can say, oh, I'm part of the Scream franchise.
For one of the first kills in the movie.
My thing about these first kills is I don't really think they... connect with all the movie.
Well, the only connection is that it's in Stu's house and they were just randomly there at the wrong time.
That's what I kind of came up with, but
yeah, you know, I don't think there was any other connection than that.
You know how mostly like kills in the beginning connect somehow to the bigger story? These ones didn't.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, I understand.
Well, I mean, like, so if we go back to like Scream 2. Was that that was the movie theater one?
Yeah, they were at Windsor College.
I guess that is a better connection.
That's why they got killed.
And then we had like the stab opening.
Yeah. So I just, out of all the franchise,
the connection was just at Stu's house.
That must have been.
But you know what? And I liked Madison because Madison did try and escape in a non-dumb way, but she couldn't get out the front door.
Let me ask you another question. So she's hanging off the balcony, or the...
Yeah, she ends up falling off. Well, she shoves Ghostface
off
the second story, and then she catches the chandelier.
So she's hanging off, right? Well, couldn't she have just swung... and went past him on the floor and then landed and ran out the door?
But I don't... She still probably would have hurt herself landing.
But at least she would have been alive.
Well. But the way she died was pretty cool, so...
So she catches the balcony and tries to...
Well, she falls off the chandelier and the ghost face turns at the right moment and just holds the knife waiting for her. And bleh, stabs her and then just adds to it, lights the house on fire and burns her to death, so... She died. Yeah. She died pretty good.
That's
pretty epically.
That's why he did that, because he was like, they're moving places. You know, after reflecting on it, they're like, we're going to burn it down because we're switching locations.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a cleansing.
Yeah, we're restarting.
Yeah, that's why they burnt down Stu's house.
Yeah.
So, I understand that part. But I just wish the kills in the first... Tied in better with the whole movie.
Yeah, like they were somehow related to somebody.
Yeah.
No, I get you. Well.
So after that.
After that, then we catch up with Sid and her family.
So Tatum is. So after we get the kills, it ends up at Tatum's room, and she is alone in her bedroom reading her phone. And this is basically a shot for shot of the original one.
Yeah, with
and
Billy.
I was like, when Billy's climbing in Sydney's window. Yeah, I didn't like. It was creepy the way he did it. He was like, "Oh, the stab movies were on." So he climbs up.
I get why they said stab movies. Like,
yeah,
I do get why they went that route because of the ages of the kids and the.
Right.
the franchise. I still almost wish if they were going to go that route, they should have just had him do The Exorcist.
But it was like a shot for shot. I was like, oh my goodness. And then I got worried that this movie was going to be a shot for shot remake of the
The boyfriend's friend.
Yeah, and I was like, what are we in for? And but when we did that, I was like, oh, is this what we're getting into?
It was just to reset everything where we're at.
So
introduce Sydney in a ironic way because she's coming in to yell at her daughter, and she's like, but you did the same thing.
Yeah, so
we all know it.
They get busted making out, and they're like, I think that's funny, where she's like knocking on her Tatum's door. And she kicks her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. She's like,
"Yeah,
is everything okay in here?"
Yeah, and the way she yells at him when she knows he's on the floor, I thought that was funny.
And Sydney knew.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I thought that was funny.
Yeah, so that was a good setup to see there's tension with them, and Sydney trying to protect her daughter, but maybe doing it
poorly
in a not a great way, especially given her life and what she's been through. And we find out that Tatum and her friends are doing, like, this school play. So Tatum has to go to rehearsal.
Right.
And this is where the shit hits the fan for the locals.
Before we get in that, the next morning, they're down in the kitchen.
You're talking about the jacket?
And yeah, because this is a good tie-in, because... Mm-hmm. Mark and Sydney are in the kitchen getting ready, mm-hmm. and then Tatum walks in with her jacket, Sydney's jacket, from the Windsor College,
mm-hmm.
and she kind of freaks out, like, oh, what are you doing with this?
Yeah.
And so she then ends up letting her wear it.
Yeah, I like how Mark was like, you kind of are doing too much.
Right. That's on you. I mm-hmm. liked that. I was
like, okay. Yeah, that he didn't just side with her. He's like, you probably should go talk to her.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So they ended up talking, and then been like, they go back to her Tatum's room. They end up talking. She finds out she was in theater,
mm-hmm.
yada yada, and she's doing a theater now. So
in a play.
So that's where we're at now.
So that's how we meet some of her other friends. So we meet her friend Hannah, who's McKenna Grace, who's
been in everything,
blowing up. Yeah, just literally been in, like, everything. She's about to be in Scooby-Doo.
Reboot.
Yeah, that was, like, a whole thing over the week. I'm pretty sure we talked about this.
Maybe, yeah.
Over Scared Ice weekend. I'm pretty sure we talked about this.
She's going to be Thelma?
Velma. Is that who you're asking
about? Yeah.
Keep going. Which one is not Velma? It's the other one. Daphne. She's going to be Daphne.
Okay. She's Sarah Michelle Gellar's character.
Yes. Okay. Chloe, played by Celeste O'Connor, is the other friend. So the three girls are walking to go to the play. And then her boyfriend, Ben, rescues them and drives them the rest of the way. Because everybody literally in their friend group is involved in this.
Right.
So they're doing the rehearsal. It's like this whole, like, very cheesy, I feel like, setup for the play, because they have, like, Hannah's character on wires being flown around, and it's just bizarre.
Is it a Peter Pan?
She's not dressed like Peter Pan.
She has to be a fairy or some sort.
I have no idea what it is.
There was a dog and everything. I'm like, what kind of play is this?
We don't get far enough in for me to understand what was happening. Maybe somebody knows what play they were doing, if it was a real play. I don't know, but I have no idea what was happening. But we got this, like, dickwad student director who's, like, real mean to Tatum.
Yeah.
Like, he's kind of a dick when he's just, like, you're not bringing enough to this dog character. Literally, Tatum's in a fucking dog costume.
You can't even see her face.
And she can't see where she's walking, and he doesn't seem bothered by that. He just is like, oh, you're Sydney Prescott's daughter. You should bring more to the role.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's just a dick.
So,
did not like him.
Sydney, at this point, owns a coffee company.
Yeah, so Sydney has gone to work while Tatum and friends have gone to the rehearsal.
And she has a bunch of dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets a phone call.
Well, before she gets the phone call, we meet some other characters, right?
I guess we should bring them up.
Yes. So, we meet Lucas, who I guess Lucas and Chloe are like dating or like each other or something. I don't know. But Lucas is the weird kid.
And they're actually Sydney's neighbor.
Yeah, and they live next door. Next door? They're in the neighborhood. I think it's next door. Yeah, to Sydney and her family. And he's obsessed with Sydney.
And he wants to start a podcast.
He wants to do a podcast. He wants to know all about what happened to her. And he's like, oh, they were, you know, replaying like a documentary.
About the New York stuff.
And they keep bringing up New York.
They brought that up too much.
Multiple times. I thought it was a little much too. And, you know, he's trying to talk to her about it. His mom shows up, Jessica, who's Anna Camp. And she's just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he's bothering you. Don't you have to go to rehearsal? And is like so embarrassed that he's pestering Sydney about these things. It's, you know, just terrible. And then she has like a heart to heart with Sydney on the couch.
Yeah,
about in the coffee shop about, you know,
Tatum.
Yeah, because Sydney's having problems with, you know, connecting with Tatum. And then, she, you know, she's just talking about her past with her abusive ex-husband. And that's like a whole thing.
Right.
Where they're bonding. Then Sydney goes in the back and is doing inventory or something and gets the phone call.
Which we should say,
Madison got a phone call too. We didn't really bring that up, but Madison did get a phone call in the Stew house too.
Yeah, she did.
His face, yeah. But it's more significant when Sydney gets it because,
right,
you know, Sydney.
So she gets a phone call and she's like, some asshole, you're like some asshole hiding behind a, a goat or a voice changer. And he's like, I'm not hiding this time.
And then he FaceTimes her.
And it's Stu Mocker.
Yes. So we have Stu. Matthew Lillard is back. His face is kind of fucked up looking and he's nutsos. Like, Matthew really brought the crazy.
And he's like,
acting.
He's like, basically, you bitch, whatever, I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, I'm at the high school, I know where your daughter is, I know all about you, you know.
Right.
Also, Tatum, just shit that I feel like Stu would really do.
She was like, oh, you named your daughter Tatum. Mm-hmm. That's a bit weird. Mm-hmm. So, I'm at the high school, and then she freaks out and
it's calling Mark.
Calling Mark, and he's like, racing, oh, there's a murderer at the high school.
You gotta get over there. And
let me ask you, how big do you think this town is?
It can't be that big because later in the movie she's like running everywhere.
So why do you think they got there so late to that? Because by the time they got there to the high school, Ghostface fucked everybody up. Right? They killed who's the girl that's in everything?
McKenna.
So they kill Ghostface kills the wire handler.
But that's how it is in these movies. Like, sometimes it seems like they get places fast, and then when they really need to get there fast, they never do.
Yeah. And then this time, McKenna is on the wires, and they're going up and down, and Ghostface comes on the stage and pulls out a knife.
Yeah, and she's swinging around. She can't stop it.
She flies by and gets gutted.
He slashes her a bunch of times, yeah, and then cuts her up the middle and all her guts fall out. And it is super gross. And the lighting, it was amazing.
They had a spotlight on her. They did a really good job on that kill.
That was a great kill.
And that's,
she was in this movie for 5 minutes and it was excellent.
And then she's the one that does, with Ice Nine Kills.
She's in that song.
Yes, they did it together.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which is like the main song for this movie.
Mm-hmm. But I wanted to, for reference, who we're talking about.
Yeah, so
Sydney busts in, shoots at him, and the cops are right behind her. And another thing, I'm just like, so can Sydney get away with shooting a gun in a school? Or bringing a gun? Nobody said anything to her.
Indiana's a very red state, so.
Not even Mark. He wasn't like, bro, you can't just shoot a gun in a public school.
He probably knows better than to talk back to Sydney.
So.
At this point.
Everybody is questioned.
Now, the Ghostface also killed the kid who was supposed to be doing the wires.
Yeah, the wire, yeah.
What was that kid?
They slashed his throat.
Aaron. So we don't see him die, but yeah, she sees him lying on the floor and. Yeah. He was very quickly done. Yeah. So, yeah, he gets killed first, and then then Hannah is killed very dramatically.
After that...
Did you notice, so there's a couple things. Like, number one, when Mark gets the call from Sydney, one of their cops is coming out, trying to tell him he got this weird call from Woodsboro. because now they know about the Stew House, right? And they obviously want to make sure everybody knows what's going on with Ghostface.
Right.
Related things. But he doesn't get to tell Mark at that point because Mark is like, oh shit, I gotta go. Because of Sydney.
Right. I heard him say he got a strange call from Woodsboro.
Yeah, and then Mark's like, hold on. And then Sydney is like, you gotta get to the school. And it's a whole thing. Also, there's like just little things I liked about this. When Sydney's yelling for Tatum and Tatum finally appears because she was in wardrobe changing out of her costume. When she finally sees her mom, she's like, what's going on? And she's facing or walking out towards the stage, right, where her friend is brutally murdered. And Sydney grabs her and turns her around when she hugs her. And it's, like, just one, like, little thing. But it's just something that...
A mother would do.
A mother, and especially Sydney, would do. Like, you don't need to see this and what happened to your friend, right?
Yeah.
You're about to find out she's dead. It's going to be traumatic. But let's not make you
relive
see
it.
This. Yeah, and what happened to her.
So
she instantly did that. And I just thought that was a...
So they must have moved the body because they had everybody in the theater.
Well, they had barriers up, so she clearly, they dropped her down and then...
Oh, okay.
Went from there.
Okay.
So you couldn't really see unless you went out and looked over the barrier. So then we get a whole scene where we're questioning everybody. So we got all the kids and their parents. The director comes back and we're asking, where were you?
There,
did
everybody.
You leave yet? Were you still here? Everybody's being questioned.
I think the funny thing is about the director. He's like, who would do this? We don't even have an understudy.
I don't even have an understudy.
I was like, that's pretty funny.
Like, this dude is a grade A dick, I'm telling
like
you.
That, if you've never been or worked in Hollywood, that's how people really are.
Yeah, this
They're
dude.
They're so stuck
being
on
in the
themselves.
Middle of Indiana, he's an asshole.
He's like, bro, you're on a different level. You need to come back down.
Yes, yeah. And basically, all the kids are, for the most part, saying they had already left. Or they were, you know, in the backstage someplace. That's essentially, everyone has some sort of alibi
right.
for where they were. Now, Sydney, of course, is like, fuck all this.
We're leaving.
I don't trust any of you. The boyfriend can't come. And, of course, Tatum's like, he didn't do it, Mom. You don't know what you're talking about. And she's just like, you don't know that. And, you know, I get Tatum is going to be upset about this, but given Sydney's history, I can't really be mad at Sydney for being like, you can't know that. And it seems very, like, extreme and overprotective.
But this is Sydney's rat.
I mean, Sydney's literally been screwed by a lot of people who knew her. So
right. So they leave. They go back
the
to the house.
The police escort.
Escort. They are, and here's what I don't get. So they're back
Stupid.
At Sydney's house. And all the police officers are searching the house and everything.
It's clear.
Like,
we checked
it's clear.
Everywhere.
But they did not check the attic.
Literally.
And then how can you clear a house if you did not check the attic?
You didn't check the attic. And guess what? The police leave so they can grab their stuff because the plan is they're going to get the fuck out of Dodge.
Right.
Well, just Sydney and Tatum. And the fucking ghost face comes down from the attic.
Right.
Like, come on, dude. This one, I mean, I thought this was really well done. I like this whole ghost face attack because number one... You know, he's, like, stealthy, comes out of the attic. Who knows how long he's really been up there. And they're packing, and, of course, you know, Sydney's mad at Tatum because Tatum had gotten rid of her go bag because she didn't understand why she even needed a go bag because Sydney did not prepare her for the possibility of any of this. And then they start finding out, like, oh, the lights are randomly being turned off, and they realize someone's in the house, right?
Right.
And Tatum is now being held at knife.
Knife point.
Knife. I was going to say, is it knife point? I guess it's... I don't know. He's got the knife to her throat, the ghost
right.
face. And Sydney's, you know, trying to reason with him. I like, because, you know, he's pointing the knife at them and shaking his head at Sydney and is like, no, bitch. I got you right where I want you. I do like, they clearly did some training, or at least Mark did, with Tatum. Because he and Tatum lock eyes and she knows it's go time for him to rescue her. So they clearly did some prep.
Right.
But
and he said, it's go.
Know.
And then she drops down and Mark, like tries to kick his ass, basically.
Yeah.
And then he ends up getting slashed or something.
And he gets down, falls down the stairs.
Right.
And Sydney and Tatum take off to this hidden panic room.
Can you imagine? So they're running into this hidden panic room, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're Tatum and you're like, I've lived in this house all this time.
Nobody
and I've
told her?
Never known that this is
that
here.
That killed me.
I was, if I would have been her, I'd be like, where the fuck did this get here?
Are you you don't tell your teenage daughter about the panic room. What if you weren't home and Ghostface came?
Right.
She would have no idea she could go and hide in there.
Right.
Sydney.
So, they go into this. Do you think she should have stayed, though? I feel in the panic room.
She would have been safer in the panic room.
But I feel like because she was like, I want to come with you, she wasn't very quiet. And so they're running through this false wall.
Because she wasn't...
prepared.
Because Sydney did not prepare her for these. I mean, you can't really prepare, but she just had no idea how to handle herself.
And she was super fucking loud. And I'm just like, girl. I understand
she's freaking out. She doesn't want to be alone. And her mom's like, no, just stay here. Even though the panic room would have been safe.
That's the safest bet. But Sydney's like, no, just come on.
They crawled through the wall.
A false wall.
That was like the greatest tense attack. Right? With him stabbing through the wall.
So Ghostface finally turns around and is like,
I hear you.
I hear you through the wall.
Yeah.
And he starts clicking on it with the knife. And he's like, this is a false wall.
Mm-hmm.
And so he starts stabbing through the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And getting him.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Sydney, she had like this crowbar with her.
And he stabs through the wall, and she bangs a knife.
I love that bit.
And I was like, that is super clever. Like,
yeah, the way Sydney was just like, fuck this. And then bang.
Bends the knife, and he couldn't pull it out anymore. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, granted, there was like a fire poker.
Right.
That he also could use, but still, very clever.
That's a Neve Campbell, that's Sydney Prescott mm-hmm. thing to do.
I loved that.
Mm-hmm. I was like, who in the world would think about that?
Yes.
Besides... Sydney.
Yes. Now,
this is the reason why she's a final girl.
Yes, exactly. Because Sydney doesn't fuck around. Yeah, she knows how to get out of situations. You're exactly right.
Right.
Yeah, and that's what she should have been teaching Tatum, but it's okay. So then we see Ghostface like, fuck, they got away. So he's gonna go downstairs. And Mark is gone. He looks down there and he's like, shit, cop's not there anymore. Sydney and Tatum come out the back of the house.
Mark. You know, ends up grabbing the guy. He mm-hmm. ends up waking up, grabbing the guy, and they end up fighting out of the lawn.
Yes.
They're in the lawn.
Yes, yeah.
And then they're fighting, and then this car comes by and, like... Yeah.
Ghostface ends up in the street.
Yes.
Yeah, and then, yeah, the SUV...
It runs him over. Boom, boom.
Epic. Everybody
applaud.
It was great. Out comes
Gale Weathers.
And that was the... bitchinest entrance.
That was a dope entrance. And everybody was like applauding.
Love it.
That was one of the best applauds I've ever seen in the movie.
That was an epic entrance for Gale.
And then Mindy and Chad jump out. And I was like, okay.
This is how they're in the movie.
That's how they're in the movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. And then, you know, obviously Sydney and Gale are talking for a minute. And then... they're just like, oh my gosh, you know, obviously can't believe this is happening again. And Gail's like, well, let's go unmask this fucker and see who it is. So you're like, ready, right?
Yeah.
It'll be real. Who is it? And then everyone's like, who the fuck is this, dude? I don't know who this guy is. He was at the coffee shop earlier.
Exactly.
I don't know him. And it's like, okay, so this was Carl. So Carl died via SUV per Gale Weathers. No one knows who this guy is. They don't know where he came from. Why he attacked her. They find out he was at a mental institution. And so
the
Gale and Sydney are going to team up.
So, yep, they're going to, next day, they go to this mental institution.
Now, they're sitting at Sydney's house. Well,
in front of Sydney's house.
So.
And then
we get a scene. Jessica and, what's his face? Lucas. Lucas come up at one point, right?
And say, I'm sorry this is happening, Ms. Prescott.
Yeah, and then
she gets pissed, and she's like, no, it's Prescott something. I don't remember her last name.
I think
she
says it's Evans.
Evans, right, yeah.
And then Jessica's like telling her son, you can't come over here anymore.
Until this is over, you can't come over.
Yeah. We get that scene, but Gale and Sydney are at the kitchen table talking, and she gets another call.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's trying to tell Gale, like, Stu called me. And Gale's like, the fuck? What? He's dead. No, he calls them again. So then Gale can see it. And then, you know, I was like Gale because...
A has-been. He's like, Stu called Gale a has-been.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Gale is much like Sydney and the fact that she doesn't take shit, but she's a lot meaner about it than Sydney. So yeah. I was like a good Gale
thrashing.
So I enjoyed that scene. But yeah, essentially, they're, you know, basically Gail's like, we have to look into this. And Sydney's like, I'll let the police do it. And she's like, well, that's your husband, right? Shouldn't we help them?
Right.
Like, you can't just sit here. That's not Sydney.
Right.
And so Sydney's like, all right, fine, we'll go to the mental institution. It's a couple hours from here.
Did you notice when they pull up in the mental institution that has a sign that says
no parking?
No parking.
And Gail
parks right there. I'm just like, that's such a Gail Weather thing to do.
Gail's like, whatever, fuck this. We're going inside anyway, and we're just... She can't be bothered to find a real parking spot.
Right. I'm just no parking, right?
She doesn't care. Yeah.
So.
Oh, so funny. So, yeah, they go to this mental institution, and they meet this dude, Marco, who... I mean, he did rub me the wrong way.
That's Carl.
Yeah.
Carl was like...
No, Carl was the dude that just got killed. So they were going to research Carl.
Right. That's why they got to the mental institution.
Room. But Marco is the one, the nurse or the...
Right, Marco.
Whatever his title is there. I don't know. Who... They're like, can't you just show us his room? And I'm like... It bothered me because I just thought this was poor movie writing. But now I know it's not necessarily that. But I was just like, there's no way he could just be like, yeah, come see this crime scene patient's room.
Because of HIPAA, right?
Because there's, like, medical restrictions, one. Like, HIPAA violation, I think. I know he's, like, dead, so he doesn't really have, you know, probably rules anymore. But it's a crime scene now.
Right.
Because of what happened. So,
do you think the police have released the crime scene?
It was still taped up.
It was still, like, the next day. I was
they
just,
had
like...
tape over it. No.
Right. I don't think so. I'm surprised there's not... police officers there still.
I'm just like, what employee would do this? He should have been like, where's your warrant? Or where's the police to show you this? But I can't just let you back here.
Well, maybe he was like, oh, he recognized Gail Weathers and Sydney.
No, we know what it really was. It was a setup.
Right. No, I understand that.
But
in the beginning, he was like, oh, he recognized them.
I don't know.
That's why.
I just thought he was bad at his job.
And then he was like, oh, I'm glad you weren't hurt and everything like that.
Yeah.
And then you see a photo of Tori Spelling in his room.
Like a frame photo sitting on this dude's desk, and he has all these like creepy drawings all over the place.
I saw a TikTok video of Tori Spelling being like, "Did you know I'm in Scream 7?"
She is. She
and I was
been.
Like,
She's
"What?"
In the photo.
And then I was like, "I even asked you about it. Do you
yeah,
see the picture of this?"
Yeah, he said something to me, and I was like trying to remember, and I was like, "I don't remember seeing her." And we're trying to figure it out, and then like 2 minutes later, we're like,
there
"Oh, there she is."
She was in the Stab movies within the movie,
so that's
technically
because she was Sydney,
right? Technically, they can use her likeness now.
Yeah.
I doubt she got paid for that.
Yeah, probably not.
It just was a little alley oop in the franchise.
Mm-hmm. Just another callback to another.
Yep.
To another movie within a movie. All right. So.
Yeah.
So we get this whole backstory about Carl just being a psycho, and then also this mystery man.
They show a picture
of Stu. He's like, that guy was here. He was like crazy.
You mean John?
John Doe, because they didn't know his name. He didn't know who he was, and he came in here. He was living on the streets, and
he's a drifter.
He ended up in Indiana.
He ended up
California.
He ended up killing somebody, and
he killed a teenager.
He was too incompetent to stand trial.
And then they released him 2 weeks ago. What? What is this?
He just happened to be in the same state and city that Sydney Prescott
fishy,
is.
Fishy. Yeah.
I'm just like, okay, Stu.
Fishy.
We're reaching.
Yes. But that's all we really get out of that. Right?
Right.
Not really much else. But now they have a conversation, too, outside where Sydney, I think right before they go in, where Sydney had called to get the information on Stu.
Stu, exactly.
And they're like, well, we can't find the paperwork from him being brought in and buried and all that. We don't have any of that. And then the medical examiner who supposedly did the autopsy or whatever, she died years ago. So there's nobody to really say that Stu was buried anywhere here.
Right.
And is dead.
They can't find the paperwork.
So we're just putting, you know, because there's a lot of, no, Stu's dead. And then it's... But is he?
Yeah.
Is he actually dead? We don't know. Yeah.
So
now the town is on a lockdown.
Yeah. What I like about this is it's a small town. They have the theater,
mm-hmm.
and they have Texas Chainsaw Massacre yes. playing. I thought that was fun. Mm-hmm. But they used the same music they did in the first one when the town went on lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
The Red Glove song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the town's on lockdown. They're like, we go back to what Sydney's house mm-hmm. with Tatum and
Are you talking about Mindy and Chad?
Mindy and Chad. They're like, oh, we gotta figure it out.
Which Mindy and Chad?
So they
encourage a bunch of teenagers to be out after
curfew, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, we gotta get slip the police and have this secret meeting. And they're like, oh, we can do that. So they go to Chloe's?
Yeah, it's Chloe's parents' bar. Yes.
So they're mm-hmm. they're drinking,
mm-hmm.
and all of them are there.
Mm-hmm.
And Chloe's making them pizza, and they're drinking and everything like that. And Mindy and Chad show up. And this is where Mindy actually explains the motive of this new Ghostface killer.
Yes.
That she's like...
Mm-hmm.
This is the killer likes Gale Weathers, or not Gale Weathers, but Sydney Prescott.
Is not obsessed with Stab, the movies, all that. They're obsessed with Sydney the person.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But not this one, the one when she was dropping Ghostface every year.
So we're talking, the
96.
If we're looking at Scream movies, the first like three.
Right.
Really, probably. Maybe the first four, but probably mostly the first three.
So, hearing this and tying into the killer, now I understand it. But when I first heard that, when I first saw it,
mm-hmm.
I was like, how does this killer tie into the movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, so Mindy and Chad are basically going around, and they're like, it's probably one of your friends. And then she picks the weird kid as her go-to, and Chad says it's the boyfriend. Both of who were like, no, I'm not the killer, right?
Right.
It's definitely not me. Meanwhile...
Ghostface shows up.
Well, Gale and Sydney are trying to bait the Ghostface to call. So they go on TV, the local TV, to do an interview.
Yeah.
And they're trying to bait him to call in, but Sydney gets mad at Gale for the questions because she doesn't want to talk about her family and her daughter and all that. And Gale's not going to listen. I mean...
She's going to do what she wants to do.
Exactly. So they see that on TV, and then Tatum is upset, so her boyfriend and her are going to go to the news station.
And find her mother.
Yeah, so she can see her mom, and the others are just there.
At the pizza place.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So while they're sitting around, one of the pizzas burns, so Chloe goes in the back, and guess who's there?
Ghostface.
Dun, dun.
So, basically, in this, Ghostface kills everybody.
Yeah, so, I mean, Chloe was doing a good job. It kind of seemed like she was maybe going to get away.
Yeah, I really had high hopes for her.
She got out of the kitchen, and Chad and Mindy had ended up in there because they were trying to get the fuck out of there because Chloe disappeared to the kitchen, and Lucas, the weird kid, had went to the bathroom, and they're like, this is sketch. We should get out, but all the doors are locked, so they're like, well, let's go through the kitchen. There's got to be a door, right, to get out. Come into the middle of the Ghostface attack. They both get slashed. Well, Chloe stabs Chad by accident. Oops. And then Ghostface comes and just makes it worse. And then Ghostface nails Mindy in the stomach.
In the stomach.
Slashes her and they both fall down.
But to be honest with you, she would go to the hospital and they'd just stitch her up, basically. That's basically all they can do.
Yeah.
Give her pain medication.
Then she's got to wait for it to heal. And she's used to it.
Same with Chad, right?
That's all they got to do. They're used to it.
They would pull it out, and then they would stitch up his arm, right?
Yeah, they're used to it. So,
One thing I didn't like is the neighbor kid was like...
Lucas
was like, I got this. After everybody's getting killed.
Yeah, Chloe comes out, and then she's trying to tell Lucas. Lucas is like, oh, I can take care of it. No, he can't.
And he gets killed. He lasts less than 5 seconds, and he comes out.
No, they stab him and he falls down, and then they go back to Chloe.
Right.
He's trying to get out. She's being very clever, trying to, like, hide and everything.
But I'm saying him in particularly. Like, he runs in, he's like, I got this, and then five seconds.
Like, in the kitchen? Yeah.
Yeah, five seconds later, then he falls out.
Yeah, and he's already been stabbed. So, Chloe ends up being, like, thrown across a bunch of glass on the countertop, and one gets in her neck, and she's donezo.
She's done.
And then Lucas, instead of being smart and just pretending to be dead until the ghost face leaves, like, starts breathing all loud and then tries to crawl away.
Right.
Which you're not going to get. No, you're not getting at. So, ghost face picks him up.
Exactly. And keep in mind, this ghost face is his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
As we find out at the end.
Yes.
This, yeah.
And so lovely he, mom. She picks him up.
Puts him on a beer tap.
And, like, stabs him, right? And I'm thinking to myself.
Like, it goes through his head.
Through the back of his head. And yeah. It's like, starts spitting. He starts spitting out
blood. And beer.
And I was like, how do you think she did this? And you were just like, adrenaline?
That's the only thing I think of, adrenaline.
Yeah. So I was just like, it was a cool kill, though.
It was
really impressive.
Very gross.
I think that will be. That was the second best kill in this movie.
To me, that was the best one, followed by McKenna's death.
You thought that was better than the guts?
Because it was so, especially knowing who did it.
Out of place.
And so brutal. Like, McKenna's death was brutal, but we've seen that before. People getting gutted, right? And the guts everywhere. So Michael Myers-esque. Like, brutal, just for the sake of being brutal. Like, they didn't have to do that. Just stab him one more time and that guy would have been done.
But that was personal. She did that because it's personal.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it was like she, so messed up.
As a mother, she hated him.
Yeah, because he was too much like his father.
And so she was just like, I'm going to kill you in the worst way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was epic.
So.
So Tatum and her boyfriend have been outside.
They get into a fight.
Because Tatum thinks he's a deep faker because he was trying to copy it.
Yeah,
so he was trying to replicate it. And she hits him in the face with the laptop and was like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. But then Ghostface shows up, so.
Do you think that would have made him bleed, though? Like, in the beginning, he had his forehead was bleeding. Mm-hmm. You think that would have made him bleed?
I mean, you don't have a lot of skin here, so depending on where she knocked him, like around his eyebrow, where she got him, yeah, you could probably split the skin there.
Okay.
She probably hit him pretty hard. So.
Especially with a laptop? With the MacBook Pro?
I mean, she fucked that MacBook up and his face.
I was like, bro. Yeah. Yeah. So she gets out. She's running.
Now Tatum's running through the streets. Nobody's there because, you know, it's lockdown. Being chased.
Yeah.
By the ghost face. Her boyfriend shows up. And promptly gets
stabbed,
right?
Yeah, at this time, we did miss the part where they're at the news station. And then Stu calls them and they're like.
Oh, after the, yeah.
They're like, they're out doing the interview. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, your kids are not home. She skipped curfew. Mm-hmm. She's a bad girl.
At the bar.
And they're at the bar. And
that's
I'm going to punish her.
Mm-hmm.
So Sydney runs. Gail's like, where the fuck is Sydney?
Mm-hmm.
This is the part where I don't really like. So after this part, Gail Weathers is basically not in the show.
Yeah.
I think they really underutilized her in this movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know why she didn't follow Sydney or run outside immediately, because she would have found Sydney. Sydney couldn't get into her car, so she was just running.
Right.
She could have found Sydney.
She could have been like, come on, get in the car, let's go.
Yeah, and drove her there.
She had the keys.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that. Yeah.
Basically, Tatum's running. They end up going to the coffee shop.
Yeah, because she knows the code.
Go, and then, so that means the mother must have known the code as well.
That's no, because she's not the one who came to the coffee shop. It was Marco.
So Marco...
I get what you're saying, though. She told Marco the code.
Yeah, exactly. That's how he got in the door.
Yeah.
So Marco was in there. Tatum hides in the back room.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I don't like is, you know, Sydney calls her and she's like, you gotta shoot him.
Because she's watching her through the security.
Yeah, she has security cameras and everything like that in the coffee shop. There's a gun in the back room. She's like, put your earbuds in.
Mm-hmm.
And she puts her earbuds in and lays her phone on the floor.
Yeah.
And then gets further and further away from it.
I didn't like that either. I was like, what the fuck?
Why didn't you put your phone in your pocket and your earbuds again? So she shoots him in the chest and she's like, mm-hmm. He's dead. But another thing is she should have stayed in the back room. I even told you that. I was like, wouldn't you have stayed in the back room?
Yeah, until Sydney could get there or help.
Exactly.
You know?
And then Sydney's like, no, you got to shoot him in the head. Got to shoot him in the head. And she's like, no, he's dead.
No, he's not.
And then she's in the middle of the room. Sydney's yelling at her on the phone, and then another ghost face appears.
Yeah, she manages, there's a big fight scene, and Tatum manages to knock out, knock over the ghost face, and you're like, oh, so she can run, and then the second ghost face comes.
Yes.
She's not getting away.
So, they're basically like, oh, where am I going, and where the heart is.
Yeah,
so
where the heart is until I stab it or something, yeah.
So they end up going back to Sydney's house. Mm-hmm. And then through all this, you have all the old ghost face. You have
not all of them.
Well, you have Billy Loomis's mother.
Yeah, so we start off with Stu again on all of her TV screens. Her system's been hacked. And he's mocking her, and then he turns into, Billy's mom.
Billy's mom.
And then turns into Roman.
Roman.
Yeah. And then turns into Dewey. Which, Dewey seemed out of place to me. Like, a lot of people are online were like, it would have been better to transition to, like, Jill. Because they're talking about, like, family members and stuff.
Yeah, I was thinking
but
that.
But maybe Emma didn't want to do it or couldn't do it or something.
But do you remember the marketing for this when they were like, Dewey's coming back?
Yeah.
And everybody thought he was going to be part of the main cast.
And here's the thing. Like, we heard from Matthew Lillard. He's been talking about, even at Scared Ice, he's talking about. Like, he was very excited to come back, and he immediately was like, yes, I'll come back. But he wasn't too thrilled with how he came back, the way he was utilized, because I think he wanted to be Stu, not a deep fake of Stu. And
Go ahead, share your thoughts.
We'll get into that part in a minute. But what I was going to say was, I think he's trying to say like he kind of felt like underutilized as a character or whatever. But to me, looking at the ending where we got, out of those characters, I was like, the fuck did they do with Dewey? Like, I just did not like what we did with David Arquette. I'm like,
I don't think David Arquette's character should have been killed.
He shouldn't have been killed.
At all.
And at this point, we're not going to retcon it because obviously they're just going with it as is. I made that clear in this movie. But I'm just like, I don't like the way we brought him back. You know,
right.
Where now he's like being used, which I understand, you know, as part of the evil team. But I almost wish, if you were going to bring David Arquette back, I wish you would have swapped him in sooner and just had him be more of evil Dewey as part of the deep fake to fuck with Sydney, then have him shoehorned in, like, right at the end for, like, 5 seconds. And then I'm just like, bro, that's what we do with Dewey. That was us bringing him back.
Legacy, his character.
I just
feel
like
they owe him more.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Like, if we're gonna do something with Dewey, I wish there was more to it, but.
So, they're like, where are you? Where's my daughter? He's like, oh, I thought we, so it goes back to Stu, and he's like, mm-hmm. I thought we'd go back where somebody's tied to a chair in the backyard.
Which, they're trying to tie that in, and it was from the first movie, but I'm like, but they didn't do that to Sydney. That was the first
Casey
kill.
Becker.
Yeah, I mean, like she knows about it, but I was like, I get the tie into the first one, but I was kind of like,
it wasn't
a Sydney thing, though.
This is a side note. Have you heard all the rumors that's saying that Stu didn't really actually murder anybody in the
Yeah, I've heard, like, that Billy did it all.
We're going to do an analysis on that. I've seen videos about that, and I want
to... Oh, we can do a whole episode where we talk about just the killers.
I want to break that down.
Yeah, so we can do the killers from every movie. We can just...
Yeah, so that's going to be another episode on this.
Yeah, but anyway, so Tatum's tied up in the backyard like Steve.
And we forgot that Mark was...
He got attacked at some point. Yeah.
Before the interview, he was hanging around in the
house. That's right,
it was
before the interview. Yeah.
And they're expanding their house, they're doing some work done. He goes in the garage, and then Ghostface is there, and then, like, brutally attacks him.
Yeah, there's a lot of stabs there.
So
they drag him out in the last scene.
A lot of blood.
Mm-hmm.
So they go in, and they have Tatum in the backyard,
mm-hmm.
and there's a ghost face there with a knife.
Mm-hmm.
And he unmasks himself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
Marco.
He's like, I would have been dead, but your daughter doesn't know how to shoot. He always taps him on the head. You gotta shoot him in the head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she's like, he says something. He's like, isn't that right, Stu? And then another ghost face appears. Mm-hmm. And they're talking, and she unmasks, mm-hmm. and it's the neighbor.
It's Jessica.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, what the hell? What's going on? Why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. And so she basically goes through her story saying, you know, I had a fucked up marriage, you know.
And, like, you were like, my role model. She was obsessed with Sydney. I read your book, and you didn't show up in New York, and how could you do that, and...
And she was like, I murdered my husband and got away with it.
Yeah, and then I ended up in the mental institution and met this guy.
And because you weren't... Because I had to stay near you, but you weren't in New York. So I had a breakdown. Mm-hmm. And then that's how we met. Mm-hmm. And then, what's the guy's name?
Marco.
Marco was like, oh, it was my idea to bring back Stu.
I did like them arguing about
and
that.
And they were like, no, it was my idea. I just let you think of that.
Yeah. And then when she's doing her whole like rampage and he interrupts her and she gets so pissed, like it was pretty funny. She did a good like fucked up rant.
And then he's like, I'll be right back. And then he pulls Mark in.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, he's still alive.
Yeah.
And
barely.
I think the reason why they kept Mark alive is because they didn't really want to fuck with Sydney.
Well, and it was a good way to get Tatum out of the situation.
Right.
Because he had a little knife that he used to free her.
So he freed Tatum. Mm-hmm. Marco gets shot because
Sydney had a hidden gun.
He gets shot in the head.
Yeah.
Jessica runs in the garage.
Mm-hmm. Takes off her Ghostface outfit.
Yeah, trying to fight. They fight her out.
There's a lot of good Sydney action in this scene with her.
Right.
The two of them.
And then they're basically like, Jessica's like, you are too old to be a final girl. You've outlaid your welcome.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
And then Tatum runs in and... Because
that's what she was saying too at the beginning. Like, she wanted to make a new Sydney with Tatum.
Right.
You know, she wanted to make her watch her mother die and all this stuff. So, yeah.
So she runs in. Tatum runs in, shoots her. She gets up and still runs away. And then mm-hmm. comes back with a knife, right? And mm-hmm. at this time, it's Sydney... and Tatum with a gun, mm-hmm. and she's running toward him with a knife, and they shoot her face off. Like
she has no face.
None whatsoever.
It was brutal.
And I'm like, bro, they fucked
Point
up
made.
Her face.
Point made.
And now she understands. Tatum understands now
shoot him in the
why
face.
You have to
shoot
him
in
the head.
Shoot him in the head.
Mm-hmm. So, they're dead now.
Yeah.
Please come. Mm-hmm. Gail Weathers comes with... Chad and Mindy.
Mm-hmm.
They're all stitched up.
Yep.
They're in the hospital, things
ready
like
to go
that.
Live.
That's where, after they, Sydney ditched Gail Weathers, she went and got Chad and Mindy and took them to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically has a heart to heart with her and says, you've always had my back. I definitely trust you as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, has a heart-to-heart with... Sydney has a heart-to-heart with Tatum.
Yep.
Fills in the whole Tatum, why you...
All the things she loved about her
exactly.
best friend and why she wanted her Tatum to have all of her basic personality, spunk and fearlessness and
attributes and everything like that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so that's the movie in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first saw this, I didn't really like the killing. Killers.
Yeah.
I just thought they mm-hmm. popped in. But
yeah, a lot of people feel that way online. They're
but what like, Mindy oh. said, after listening to what Mindy said, it ties it in. Like, this ghost face
mm-hmm.
is obsessed with Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes more sense. And if you look at it like that part, then it makes more sense. And then I can get behind it. I'm just like, okay, that makes a lot more sense.
The motive is, because people become obsessed and they do bonkers things like this. You know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, so that is what it is. She becomes obsessed with Sydney. Now, I still have a problem with Marco because I'm just like, the fuck is he doing here? Other than he was doing the deep fake things.
That's all he was
worth. I'm still not really into him being part of it. Now, I did ask or did some research to see... Because one of the complaints is like, well, they were barely in the movie, right? He's in the movie for like 3 minutes and then he reappears. As the killer at the end.
Okay.
But it's it's not like this is the first time they did that. So Mrs. Loomis was not really in
the movie.
The movie, and then she appears at the end. But I think people accepted it more because they're like, oh, it's a family member. But right. I mean, you can still, again, Anna Camp's character, Jessica, was obsessed with Sydney. That's where this comes from. Following her around, you know, reading all of her books and stuff, so it makes sense. Amber and Richie. So, like, Richie was in it more. Again, people I know don't like Scream 5, but whatever. He was in it more, obviously, because he was the boyfriend, right? But Amber's character, I mean, she was, like, part of the friend group, but she wasn't, like, a big part.
We're going back
she
to Scream
5. She was in the Scream 5.
Right now,
she was in there, but, you know, I think the problem is we think back to Billy and Stu, the original. They were very much in the movie.
Right.
In your face, right? Jill, Scream 4, was a main character of the movie before it was like, oh, shit, she was doing all this. But to counterpart that, Jill's partner, Rory Culkin's character.
Oh, man.
I don't feel like he was in it, right? And we had scenes with them, and, you know, Kirby was flirting with him at that one point and all that.
Right.
But again, it's not like he was in your face.
Right.
So you have to kind of look at it that way. Like, they're saying, oh, she wasn't in it enough, but they did bring her in, and Anna Camp has kind of said she had asked to be more. Like, I think she had another scene added because she didn't feel like there was enough establishment of who she was as a character. So she made some comments on that. Also, when we're looking at the movie, I was curious because I started seeing some things about the script, right? So we all know what happened with Melissa Barrera and Jenna Ortega leaving the franchise. So they had a different script that they were working on, ready to go, whatever it was.
Okay.
For this movie.
Do you know anything about that?
Well, the deep fake stuff was in there, from what I'm seeing.
Okay.
But they basically had to take the original script and rework it for this movie.
So, do you think they were planning on bringing Stu back for them, too?
So, here's the thing. Like, Guy Busick?
Busey.
He It's not Busey, because it's I-C-K.
Busick, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right.
But
I'm
if
sorry.
You want to correct me.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
It's fine. He co-wrote Scream in 2022 and Scream 6, so Scream 5 and Scream 6. He's credited with the deepfake and AI subplots, as well as the more modern brutal kills like the beer tap sequence. James Vanderbilt is credited with the story along with Guy. He was part of the radio silence era of the franchise. And then we have Kevin Williamson, who was brought back. So he stepped in to co-write and direct. So it seems like he wrote Sydney in. Right? Because Sydney probably was not part of the script.
Right.
Knowing what was going on. So he fixed it. He wrote Sydney in. But it seems, from what I was seeing online, that he probably was told there were things he could not alter about the original script and was stuck with it. So he's kind of having to squeeze in what they already did.
Right.
And make his new story to include Sydney. So he was kind of getting stuck with some of this.
Okay.
Right? So that's why it feels a little, like, disjointed, a little bit like, what the fuck is going on with this? We have that, number one. It was $500,000 on rewrites to fix
Holy
the
shit.
Script. So that's part of this problem, is obviously the studio was not looking to spend a whole bunch of extra money on top of that.
Yeah.
And then, this pissed me off when I saw this today. So there was an alternate ending. So they had two endings shot. One of the endings 100% confirmed that Stu Mocker is not dead. There was an ending where Stu was definitely alive. And this may be, I have not heard Matthew talk about this, but this may be part of what he's been trying to hint at, right? When he's talking about, like, he thought he would be used more, like, all this stuff, right? Because he knows if they have an alternate ending.
Right.
That they shot.
I didn't know this.
So, supposedly what happened was they were doing test audiences, and the test audience didn't like it. So they backtracked it and made it so he was just the AI figure. However, number one, everybody online when I saw this was like, who the fuck was this test audience? Because they can't actually be Scream fans. Because Kevin's coming out now and he's just like, oh, well, I guess the fans don't really want it, so we're just going to leave it alone. And all the fans are like commenting on these articles and stuff like, who the fuck are the fans you're talking to? Because everybody's been very vocal about wanting Matthew back. As Stu. Not everybody. There's definitely fans out there who are like, he's dead. Which we've seen this argument for like the last three movies, right?
Yeah, right.
About
right.
whether he's dead or not. So, in my opinion, though, despite the fact that they did this alternate ending and they went with the one that did not have him alive, they've left the door wide open for Matthew to come back.
Absolutely.
Because we can't find the paperwork, so we don't really know what happened to him, right? There are some people online who are saying that the first call, I think they're saying it was the first one, maybe. One of the calls was from the real Stu, and the others were fake.
I think the boyfriend was saying that this one was a live call.
He did say that the one of them, he said, I don't see how this could be a deep fake. Yeah, Tatum's boyfriend.
He was like, yeah, this...
Look at it, there's the shadows match and all whatever he was saying. And, I mean, they're probably trying to get around that by saying, like, the dude was, like, a Google site, was it securities expert or whatever? But, he did say that.
Right.
That he didn't see how this could possibly be AI, a deep fake. I feel like they say the test audiences, right? Now, Kevin could have probably went back and they could have re-edited the movie to make it a little bit less ambiguous, right? They didn't have to do all they did with that comment, the fact that the paperwork is missing, the fact that now everybody's questioning if Stu actually died or didn't, or, you know, what happened to him. I feel like even though Kevin's coming out in the press and he's just like, well, we tried to do it, you know, audiences didn't want it, whatever. I feel like now he's fucking with us because he knows he left the door wide open.
Absolutely.
With the way that this
and they put together. They said it too many times in the movie.
We've talked about this too much in recent movies, had too many debates. And I do think maybe the studio was like, I don't know about this, right? Maybe they were the ones who are like, you shouldn't bring him back. They say the test audience, but we don't know. Because Hollywood says whatever they want.
Yeah.
Right? They don't tell us what actually
happened. Yeah.
So maybe this was a way for Kevin to put it out there and see what the actual fans are saying. And there's a lot of fans who are like, man, I wish they would have just left it that Stu was the one. I wish Stu would have walked out or, you know, that the third one or something, right?
Well, now they've left the door open for Scream 8.
Mm-hmm.
And this could be the final chapter of Stu.
They should do it.
And he should be...
Make him the surprise killer.
And again, you and I said this. If they do this, they can't put him on anything.
We can't
posters or anything
Matthew
like
anywhere.
That.
Yeah.
Because this would be the surprise killer.
Yeah.
You know, when they were promoting this one, they were like, oh, yeah, Matthew Lillard.
Look at all the people who came back.
Yeah,
right?
Matthew Lillard, he's back, blah,
they
blah,
were
blah. Super excited about this.
They were trying to push the nostalgia, right? Because we knew Roman was back. We didn't know about Miss Loomis. I never saw anybody talk about her.
Not at all.
But we knew David Arquette was back. We knew, you know, Roman was back. We knew Matthew was back, right? We knew all these things. Courtney Cox has signed on. We knew all this nostalgia stuff. So they were trying to get us back in theaters, the ones who were, like, not into the core four thing.
Yeah.
They were trying to get us back.
Exactly.
A lot of Scream fans just saw it anyway.
Right.
Whether they were happy with the core four or not.
Exactly.
That was the purpose. But now they've done it, right?
Right.
So if they're going to have the next movie, all you got to do is tell us Sydney and Courtney are coming back. And
right.
I think the Scream fans will return. And then if you make Stu the killer... The audience is going to lose their fucking minds.
I think...
You should do it, Kevin.
I think in the next one, it's not going to be less from Gale Weathers and Sydney. It's mm-hmm. going to be more towards Tatum and...
Yeah, they're resetting it.
The new generation.
Right? But what a thing for Stu to go after Tatum.
Yeah.
You know, after all this went down and he's like, fuck this, I'm coming for real.
Yeah. They didn't do it.
I'm going to get them. Yeah.
I would definitely... But again... You cannot say that at all on anything. It just
you
has to be a surprise.
Matthew's coming back.
It's like Doomsday, right? They should have
left it alone.
Robert Downey Jr.'s character.
Let him be the surprise. Marvel.
Just let him be in there.
Yeah, we didn't need to know.
So
the theater would have lost their minds. But yeah, in our minds, it's Stu and Angelina.
Yes.
But I think not everybody is on the Angelina.
Angelina should come
us.
Back. She's the only one that doesn't have any real credit.
She, to us, based on the West lore, she didn't die. And She was the other killer
in mm-hmm. Scream 3.
Yeah, so we would be down with an Angelina killer. But some people are saying maybe Jill should come back. Like, we don't know, I guess for sure, she didn't get shot in the head. So there could be a possibility she survived and maybe Stu and Jill team up. Which would be, I wouldn't complain about that either if we somehow got Emma Roberts back.
You know what? That's right, because they did shoot her in the chest, though.
Yeah,
they were, like, clear.
But she was in a hospital, so, I mean, they could have saved her.
They didn't shoot her in the head?
No.
Okay. I wouldn't complain about that, but...
No. I would accept her coming back.
Those two would be cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we'll see what Scream 8 brings, but that would be... That, like you said, that would be a good way to finally wrap up the Stu chapter. Matthew would be happy. The fans would be happy.
We were at Scaradice when this happened, and Matthew Lillard did a screening where he surprised everybody. And
he didn't surprise. They paid to be there.
They paid to be there.
Don't. First of all, if you see a video from that weekend in Tampa and people are like, I saw one chick do this, posting, oh, Matthew just showed up. He didn't. They paid a lot of money to have Matthew come in and do a trivia with them.
It was like $300 a seat.
A VIP was $300 a ticket, and then regular was like $50 a ticket. So those people paid to have Matthew Lillard there.
Right.
Just saying. Don't let people fool you.
But what I'm saying is people in that screening said Matthew Lillard was like really down.
Yeah, we heard he was like
oh,
depressed on his career. And
I wanted to be this in my career, and I didn't get there, and Hollywood.
And we talked about this.
Quentin Tarantino saying he's the worst actor. But
he didn't care for him.
Here's my thought about that. Quentin Tarantino got Matthew Lillard into places that people were not talking about him originally.
Yeah.
Casting directors, people that Matthew Lillard couldn't get to himself. Quentin Tarantino opened the door for that.
Well,
so instead of being upset, you should be thanking him.
Yeah.
Just like the other guy.
He was just in the New York Times, I think, too. I had an article on Matthew.
Just like the other guy that
Paul Dano.
Yeah. They should be thanking him because it's Hollywood. Not all press is bad press.
I even saw George Clooney was basically like, what the fuck? With Quentin Tarantino.
You get people talking about you. You got a buzz around him, you know? And he gets to come and do these cons.
We talked about Matthew Lillard has said in recent interviews, may have said Scaradice, I don't know, that, you know, he wanted to be the leading man, right? And he was not. He's the side character. He's, you know, whatever.
Even in Scooby-Doo.
Although, I feel like in Scooby-Doo, Shaggy is beloved. I mean, people love his character, so.
Right.
Take that. It's an ensemble, but. But that's what he wanted. And there's so much meta in this Scream movie because everything Anna Camp's character, Jessica's saying is like what the fans say about Sydney and the Scream franchise and all that, right? Complaining about the characters, you know, Sydney's washed up. Why did you bring her back? You know, these are all things that fans, people who watch the movie say. So it was very meta that way. But they also did it to Stu.
Yeah.
Because she's like, is that what you want? You want to be the leading man this time? And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what Matthew Lillard wants us to be the leading man. So maybe we're setting it up for the next movie, right? And that was very meta because he's made it very clear that that's what he wanted. And if he's the ghost face, I mean, granted, he's not like Sydney leading man, right? But if he's the ghost face, that's going to be epic for him.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to be considered a lead character if he's the ghost face.
And that's and maybe this will revive. Not that I'm saying Matthew Lillard's career is down, but maybe he'll give him a resurgence and get him into new roles.
And, you know, I don't know what his deal is, you know, but a lot of actors are really arrogant, and it seems like he really cares about his fans from everything we've heard at conventions, the way he takes forever because he wants to spend time with all the fans paying money to see him.
Right.
And he does things like if you look like you can't really stand in line or you have like small kids with you, he moves you to the front.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I've heard this multiple times where like if someone who's, you know, maybe disabled or can't stand in line for whatever reason for a long period or they do have small children with them, he moves them. So they're like towards the front to make it easier for them.
Oh, that's cool.
But he gives everybody hugs, like Doug Jones. He gives everybody hugs. He spends time with them. And that's why his lines take for fucking ever and he's always behind. So I don't want to be mad at him about that, you know? Even though we really wanted to try and meet him this time, it wasn't in the cards for us to wait.
Right.
Like, we can't do it working at the booth. But, you know, he really, I feel like he just doesn't understand, like, literally these people are coming to meet you.
Right.
Because they're big fans of you.
Yeah.
And not only you as a character, but as a person, which is much more important than you being a character.
Yeah.
On something. So,
yeah.
Just a thought, you know, for Matthew. He brought him in, him and Emma Roberts, this last con.
Yeah.
I didn't even fucking see Emma Roberts. We didn't see her at all.
No.
Except in photos.
Just in photos.
But her line was insane, you know. Yeah. At least we saw Matthew and Skeet and David on the panel stage, so
yeah,
we got to see that. And we saw Hayden up there, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I'm going to try to get Hayden on the show.
Robbie's obsessed with Hayden. I kept telling him he could go meet her if he really wanted to. I would just wait.
I did not do that,
but
though.
She always had a long line, too. Yeah. So.
But I'm going to try my best to get a...
If she's back Hayden. In October, I think you need to, like,
just I've loved Hayden go on Friday since, or something to see her. The hero days.
Robbie's obsessed, like I said.
She's my Hollywood crush. I'll be honest with you.
He's trying to say I have, like, a crush on Matthew Lillard, but I just like him as a person.
And I like Hayden as a person, too.
No. This is like if Zac Efron showed up at a con. Let's keep it real. If Zac Efron was at a con...
Zac Efron?
I would be like, I'm going to go, and you can just be by yourself for a while, because I'm going to wait in line and meet Zac Efron.
You mean Zac Efron, or...
No, I mean Zac Efron.
Not Zac
Efron. If Scrubs was there, I would wait in line for them, but not for that reason. We're okay. Comparing Hayden, right?
Oh, okay, so you're doing Zac Efron.
Yes. I would be like, I'm going to go meet fucking Zac Efron. I will be back when I'm back, and you have a great day.
Look how more compassionate I am to you.
I told you to go, to be fair. Multiple times, I said, if you want to go check out Hayden's line, if you want to go, it's fine, well, I'm good.
Her price was a lot.
Oh, well, I get that.
And I mean, when you're, we're an independent media company,
To be fair, I understand
company,
that.
Right?
We don't like to spend.
So everything we spend our money on, we have to reinvest in the company. Yeah.
So if we really want to meet somebody... We got to really ponder before we spend the cash.
The only one I've really was like, oh, I need to meet was David Boreanaz. And that was, and I don't get tongue-tied with celebrities. I interview celebrities. Speaking of us interviewing celebrities, April 4th, we are interviewing Danielle Harris.
So that episode will come out shortly after that.
So just to be clear,
it's not out on April 4th.
Yeah, we're interviewing her on April 4th.
And then the episode
Interview will be out a couple days later.
Yeah.
But if you have any questions for her...
Oh, let us know.
Please let us know.
Yeah. And anything ranging from Halloween to her Disney days to, like, Boy Meets World.
Right. We're gonna talk about it all.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get
Disney
her on
Channel
the...
Movie. Yeah.
The show for a minute. Gary, her agent, we're on good terms. And Seth, their manager. Putting these people on blast, right? So, but yeah, we are going to interview her on April 4th, and then the interview will come out shortly after that. Mm-hmm. But she's coming again. I'm going to try to get Hayden Panettiere on the pod.
Mm-hmm.
That's for me in particularly.
Yeah.
But yeah, the only person I've really gotten tongue tied was David Boreanaz.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, you're Angel. Like, I grew up with him.
Yeah. See, I just got to know him through Bones and then through Angel. So I was just like, you're so handsome in real life, too.
My only thing is I wish he would have taken off his star glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody wants to see your baby blue eyes.
He was very polite to us, but we were making all sorts of jokes about, like, Douchey David afterwards.
I was like, come
on,
bro.
He was very nice. He was not rude to us at all. I don't want to imply... No. He was rude to us. It was just a joke.
Even his handler was like, "Are you speaking to me?"
Mm-hmm.
They were like, "Are you all right?" Like, I guess I gave this vibe off like I was so nervous to meet him.
Very fanboy.
And I guess I was, but that's the only one that's okay. So a week later, I ended up interviewing James Mersters.
And you were cool.
And I was cool.
All by himself. He was
I got a 30-minute interview with him, so if you've not listened to that interview...
Go check out that interview.
That's on the Boogeyman Pod. Mm-hmm. Go check that out. But he was super cool.
Yeah.
He did the Spike voice, the whole nine, mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. But yeah, this is part one of Scream.
Yep, we'll have another...
We have another one coming out.
Yes, there's a whole other story that happened at Scaredice that we didn't even get into today, which we will get into in that episode. Good story, though. Not bad.
Yeah.
But we didn't even get into that part because there's just a lot to talk about with the movie. And Yeah, we want to do a lot of heavy movie coverage in this episode, and next one will be some movie coverage and then just kind of an interview and chatting.
Yeah.
So, more to come.
So, let us know what you guys thought about Scream 7.
Yes.
Definitely subscribe to the site, limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com.
As always, check out merch.
We have a couple new shows. We have the Limitless News Coverage Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Maya Sinclair, our friend, does that. We have the Hollywood Hustle, does that. If you're into Hollywood and you want to know what big like money moves,
like
The Town.
Yeah, like with Matt Bellamy. Bellamy. Yeah, I was going to say with Matt Bellamy. If you like shit like that, that's
Albert Parker, another friend of mine, does that. So go ahead and check that out.
We're working on the shows that shaped us.
Yeah.
So we'll probably start releasing episodes of that. Soon. Spring, I would say, or early summer. We'll have multiple episodes of that available.
I'm working on a couple other ones. I mean, you can get these anywhere you get your podcast, but if you want ad-free episodes, please subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com.
Yep.
Strange World is with Robert is on there exclusively. Mm-hmm. That's where that will stay.
Yeah, that's all you can get is on the website. Yeah.
The Secrets Uncovered. Mm-hmm. That's a subscription show, but you
it can get... It has limited release.
Limited release on all the platforms. You mm-hmm. get half the episodes, but if you want the full episodes...
Gotta subscribe.
Gotta subscribe. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's streaming programming.
I Love Lucy.
I Love Lucy.
Dick Van Dyke.
Alfred Hitchcock Presents.
There's movies.
We're getting more and more programming. Mm-hmm. So, go ahead and support us. Every con we go to, we try to invest... Mm-hmm. To try to get more programming for you guys.
Yep. And if you ever see us at a con and we're sold out of something or you forgot to come back to the booth, because I understand it's very busy at these weekends, just hit us up on Instagram. Let us know what you're missing out on as far as merch and we can hook you up.
Yeah. You can go to the website and pre-order. Not even pre-order it. You can order it.
If you don't see it on the website yet, just message us again on Instagram because he works on getting everything updated after the cons.
Yeah.
But sometimes merch doesn't make it up right away because it's con exclusive for a short time.
So. Right. Yeah, that's why. Mm-hmm. That's why you got to catch us at a booth, because I'm just like, you can get exclusively this at the booth.
Yeah, we'll have runs where you can't get it online quite yet. So,
All right, guys. Well, thank you for checking this part one out. Mm-hmm. Remember, everybody's entitled to one good scare. Mm-hmm. And we will see you in the next one.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast is produced and hosted by Robbie and Sammy Brooksby as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Podcast Network. Post-production and intro by Sammy Brooksby. Follow the show on Instagram at BoogeymanPod. You can also follow the Limitless Broadcasting Company at Limitless Broadcasting and your horror hosts at Robert 1950 Studios and at The Samalam. We also have a TikTok at 1950 Studios. Email your creepy comments and spooky suggestions to us at boogeymanpod@gmail.com. Don't forget, everyone is entitled to one good scare. Have a horrific week!
Hey everyone, it's Albert Parker here. I'm the host of the new Hollywood Hustle podcast, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Welcome to the show where we stop gawking at red carpets and start following the money. We dive deep into the financial secrets that keep Hollywood thriving. Not gossip, not just celebrity dirt, real structures, real cash flows, the corporate chess moves that decide what gets greenlit and what gets buried, who actually owns Hollywood, who makes the real money, and who's just along for the ride. So what makes Hollywood Hustle stand out? We don't just report headlines, we unpack them. Now, how do you listen? Hollywood Hustle Podcast is available on all major podcast platforms. For ad-free episodes, be sure to subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com.